unchanging, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing in grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in endless light around your glorious throne. They raise their voices day and night in praise to you alone. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. To our great God.
Lord, we are weak and frail, helpless in the storm. Surround us with your angels. In your arms, our cold and ruthless enemy, his pleasure is our harm. Rise up, O Lord, and he will flee before our sovereign God.
God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Let every creature in the sea and every fly in all the universe, sing praises to the living God who rules them by his word. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God. Hallelujah! Glory be to our great God.
second graders. Do second graders have stress? Carter, do you have stress? Ronalee and I have the privilege of having our two grandchildren here today, and so we're excited about that. And it's pretty neat to see life. This verse in Psalm 119, verse 143, is our key verse. Let's read it together. This in the New Living Translation. It says, "As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commandments." Isn't that good? That is so real. Open your Bible to Psalm 119. Elliot's going to come and read for us here. Let the Lord speak to your heart.
Good morning. We will be in Psalm 119. Verse 129 through 144. When you find your place, could you please stand? Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Elliot. Psalm 119, verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. When pressure bears down and stress rolls up, I go to God and He gives me joy because I trust His commandments. There's going to be two words this morning: tension. Either you're going to have a lot of tension and a little trust, or you're going to have tension and a lot of trust. And tension demands trust in God, and so we can win when stress bears down. We can find joy in God. Verse 144, it says, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Not die, not be miserable. I'll live because I'll handle this stress. I'll handle this pressure. I'll make life a little simpler. Verse 138. We're just jumping around here in Psalm 119. 138, it says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are right and very faithful." They are completely trustworthy. Amen? That's the key. I can trust them. Yes, I'm going to have stress, but stress is answered by trust. Verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words give us light. It giveth understanding to the simple, to the naive, to the easily persuaded, to the unlearned." It can even help people that are easily persuaded. That's a big statement here. Not only can it help the learned, but it can help the ones that can be led astray real easy. The Word of God, it can teach you to more truth, more trust. Verse 135, it says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes." Lord, I'm open. I'm ready. You give me light. Now teach teach them to me. And note that the New Living says, look upon me with love. Let me see your love, Lord. I have some tensions here, but if you open your Bible to me, I will see your love, and I can trust it, even though I don't understand it sometimes, because some stress is terrible. Verse 139, it says, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy word. You know, I am overwhelmed with indignation, anger, rage, resentment, tension. And I'm ready to fall apart. The stress is so much. But I can trust you. I can trust you. Verse 133, it says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. You know, give me guidance, God. Don't let me be overcome by evil. Don't let it come from within or without. You know, I just need to trust you. You're teaching me this daily, my steps. I have tension, but God's trust is going to end up blessing me and giving me joy in the midst of it all there. It is just wonderful. Back to our main verse here, 143, as it says up here. As pressure and stress, that's real, bear down on me, I find joy in your commandments. I trust that is true. And at the end of our sermon this morning, I trust you have that. Stress comes in all kinds of forms. Our first type of stress here I want to take this morning is the stress that we cannot do anything about. Stress caused by things out of our control. We have no control over different things. We have no control over what happens at work. You can go to work one day and they only have half what's going on, or the guys in the shift before you has messed everything up and you walk in there and it's full of stress. Is that right? You had no control over it. What do you do there? Sickness. Do we have any control over our sickness? Some of us has had some heavy sicknesses. Some have had some heavy losses in that area. We have no control. An accident. When things break down, we have no control over our economy, inflation. We have no control over that. You know, disasters, our government and all that. I just want you to know, at the inauguration on Friday, I listened to the whole thing. I sat and cried and prayed and rejoiced in the Lord. There was so much Bible being presented to our world. I was so proud of Franklin Graham and all of that. It was just wonderful. And I realized there's hope. And I was excited. And it's amazing to realize, you know, I have no control. Most time government stresses me. Friday, government didn't stress me at all. It was wonderful. And you realize that I have no control over it. So what do I do? Others, how others treat you. Children, you know, do you have any control when you go out in recess and a kid makes fun of you? You have much control over that? You don't have much control. When these type of tensions rise that you have no control over, you got to trust God. He's in charge. Habakkuk chapter 3. If you can find it, find it. It's one of those in the Bible you can look for 5 hours and not find. Habakkuk's in the Old Testament. Let me just read it to you. If you can find it, it'd be great. It's a great verse. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, we just don't have anything to eat, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, no food, the labor of the olive shall fail. We have no olive oil. That was their main staple to cook. And the field shall yield no meat, no wheat, no fruit. And the flocks, the sheep, the cows, shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. We're in trouble. There's no food and everything's gone bad. Famine's everywhere. Verse 18. I love this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, deer's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Everything's terrible, but I'm trusting God. And that is the answer. Those are things you have no control over. We live in a world. You know, you plan to get someplace and you start down the street and you got a wreck and it blocked and you sit there for hours, huh? And you said, those types of things develop patience. Right. You know, it's stress. And when you can't do anything about it, you trust God. Either you're going to have stress, tension. There's all kinds of tension. Either you're going to have stress or you're going to trust God. You have no control over it. It's out of control. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, all these troubles coming, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. I trust you experience that when stress is happening from work or home or sickness or any type of economy or finances, it's there. It's real. It will come again. I have the choice to be stressed out, or I have the choice to trust God. And He's in charge. I'm not in charge. I'm way out of charge. I'm way out of control. But He's in charge, and I trust Him. The second point I want to make is, everybody turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. You can find that better than Habakkuk. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. The second point is, stress is spiritually healthy because it grows our faith. Did Daniel have a lot of stress? Man, he had a lot of stress. Lion's den, oh man, all kinds of stress. Did Joseph have a lot of stress? Do you know Joseph, in his greatest years, from his late teens to his late 20s, was in jail and in the pit and in the prison and in Potiphar's house, and he was just, and he did nothing wrong. And he was put down the whole time. He would either sit there and moan and groan and have pity parties and gripe and complain. But Joseph trusted God through it all. Is that right? And God brought him out and made him second in command of the entire world at that time. We also see that we have Esther. If y'all would read the book of Esther and read between the lines, this lady had no control of anything. She was just grabbed because she was pretty and thrown in a harem of a king. I don't know if you know everything about the harem of the king, but it isn't all pretty and nice. And here she was there. And here all of a sudden she was a Jew and it was all getting destroyed. And for such a time as this, a lot of tension. And it was stressful. But she trusted God. And we need to understand that some stress is good. Is it good for our children to have stress sometimes? Yeah. Yeah, you know, stress that they realize that, oh, I got to trust God, or I got to trust mom and dad, or I don't get everything I want. You know, I want this, this, and this. And, you know, well, we always went into the stores and said, I always told the kids, tell me what you don't want. That was terrible. You know, tell me what you don't want. We can't buy that right now. Is that right? Why would? You know, they have it and they have it. No, no. These are things that they need to learn to have this, and it makes us trust God. It gives opportunity for God to show that He is real. And stress is something that we need to depend on God. Romans chapter 5, I trust you're there. Verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Is that great? You're a sinner, but you're saved and you're at peace with God, not His enemy, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and it says, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Going to heaven. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, trials, troubles, tension, stress, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, endurance, and patience worketh experience, character, and experience worketh hope, confidence, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Does God let us have troubles and trials and tension for a reason? Yeah. Do we like it? No. Is it good for us? Yes. We get to develop patience. I have a daughter, Krissa, who has no patience. Carter, does Krissa have any patience? No patience. When she's driving, it's terrible. It's terrible. Get out of the way! She used to say, get out of the way, old people! I'd say, oh, she's talking about me, you know. You know, no patience, no patience. But if we have tension, it develops patience, and then our patience develops character. And is that right? Character. How do you know? Are we going to have troubles in life? Are people going to make fun of you? Is things going to happen bad? Yeah, that's just life. And if you don't learn that in your child years, you won't know how to have patience and character in your adult years. And character, you trust God and you realize we're going to make it through this. It's going to be tough, but we're going to make it. And then you develop hope. And that hope gives you peace. Because God come through. And those are so important that we realize God has a purpose for our tension. It's not only just tension. God's here, and that's how you trust Him. The third one there is too much of our stress is caused by our own sins, our own selfishness. And I just put up Mark here to give you that, to realize that, you know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. We have the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for things. They come and choke the word. They take the word and just snuff it out and crowd it out. And we have that too much sin in our life. We're going to be talking about this mainly tonight in Ephesians chapter 4. That's why I have this written up there. That's for tonight. Ephesians 4, if you want to write that down and read that this afternoon. 4, 17, 32, 5, 3 to 25, and 6, 1 to 9. We're going to go right through that tonight. If you've not been here for our Sunday nights, we just have a big discussion tonight. And last Sunday night, it was awesome. We just discussed. We went right down this verse by verse and discussed. And tonight we're going to go, why does America have so much stress? We're just going to go right down this. It's just been good for the whole family. But to realize that, you know, we have this. We have our pride. We have our lust. We have the consequences of it, the guilt of it. You know, we have all of these things. And we realize, wow, it's because I'm not obeying God. You know, our children, and our families and our co-workers, you know, they see us and they see us lose our temper. They see us with our anger. They see us with our words. They see us in a lie. And we catch that. Also, there's things that you can change, and you realize that the stress there is just because of our own sins. And if we would start following God more, we would have less stress. And that's the point there. Our fourth point is too much of our stress is caused by our lack of spiritual discernment, that we don't look at things rightfully. I'll just give you the Luke 10, verse 39 to 41. It's the story of Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes to town. And here we see Martha and Mary are there, and Mary, her sister there, says, you know, she is working, Martha is working in the house doing all kinds of work and getting ready for the food and for lunch and for cleaning and all of this. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to Him and gleaning from Him, feeding on the bread of life and drinking from the living water. And Martha just says, well, this is unfair. She's just being lazy. I'm working and she's sitting. You know, she was all about duty and deadlines and chores. And Jesus says to her at the end, he says, Mary has done the best thing. She's listening to me. She's learning from me. And you're just all about busy, 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 and you're missing it. Your eyes are all on the earth, not on the Bible. Your eyes are on stuff instead of God. Your goals are just business. You got your eyes on earthly goals of sports and money and prestige. And he says, hey, you're missing it. We need to have spiritual eyes and to see God and to realize the attitude more, and we would have less stress, because we would see God in a situation instead of seeing everything. I have 30 ways to simplify your life here. Can you read those? Can you read those? If you want a copy of this, I have a copy out on the communion table there. There is another paper there of 27 ways to simplify your life. It is excellent. I did not write it. I did edit it and put all kinds of Bible verses in it. But it is great out there. But 30 ways here to simplify or de-stress your life. I just looked at these, and these are not from me. I got these from somebody else. But it is amazing how that we can work with this and realize God can do these things through us, and we need to note that we need to do something about life. And when we can de-stress our life, it is just wonderful. We got to put God first. Is that right? Put Him first. Everything. Put God first. Isn't that simple? Secondly, we need to be a God pleaser. What would please God in this situation? You wouldn't have stress. You would simplify your life. Be eternity minded instead of earthly minded. Keep your conscience clean. If your conscience is pricking at you and you know you're doing wrong, you should stop. Is that right? That is excellent. That is excellent. And then it says, keep prayer simple. I've made this statement before. If you're not careful and you're praying for something, 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 I find when I do that repetitively over and over and over and over, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I will start worrying right in the middle of my praying. And there's a time to trust God. Is that right? And pray for something else. And because I've heard people tell me, I've been praying for that and praying for that and praying for that, and all of a sudden I find myself just worrying about it and worrying about it and worrying about it. Why don't you pray about it fervently, earnestly, and then trust God for it and thank Him for it and move on. Because if you're not careful, you'll make your prayers complex, and He wants to keep them simple. Keep your prayers simple. And then it says, get your mind off of yourself. Is that a big one? You know, having a pity party. Well, I don't deserve this. I do this and this. No, no, get your mind off yourself. Children, it says, verse number 7, it says, let go of your past and forgive yourself. It's probably one of the biggest. If you're constantly haunted by your past and it gives you stress, I want you to know if you have confessed it and forsaken it to the best of your ability, you are forgiven. And since you are forgiven, God has forgotten it. And if He can forgive and forget, so must we. I tell people that all the time. Are you forgiven? Yes. Has God forgiven it, forgotten it? Yes. Why don't you live forgiven? Get that stress off your back. Are you guilty? Yes. But you're forgiven. And the stress should just drop right off. Number 8, it says, be quick to forgive. If you withhold forgiveness, you're going to have stress in your life. Be satisfied with what you have. Contentment. Children, be satisfied. Don't compare, well, they have this and they have this. No, look what you have. Be content. Is that a Bible principle? When we're not content, we're stressed. Well, I want this and I want this. That will not make you happy. And we need to teach that to our children, our teenagers, very much. It says, be satisfied with what you have. Don't worry about tomorrow. Will the worries of tomorrow take care of itself? You know. And then it says, think before you speak. Boy, is that a good one? Boy, it'd help most of it. I want you to write down, of these 30, pick about 5 or 6 of them and write them down and start working on them. You say, boy, I need that one. I need that one. It says, because it makes you have stress. It says, number 12, it says, beware of distractions. Boy, we have all kinds of that today, huh? You're trying to read your Bible and there's all kinds of distractions. You need to cut distractions. You need to simplify your life. You just can't do everything at one time. Simplified, is that right? Cut distractions. It'll help you so much. And then number 13, it says, learn how to say no. Every time you say yes to something, you say no to 4 or 5 other things. Is that right? If you say, if a person asks you, I'll go here, you go here. But really you're saying no to other things, especially if your own family. Somebody asks you to do something and you say yes, and you say, really you said yes to them and no to your wife, or yes to them and no to your children, or yes to them and no to your God. So know when to prioritize. There's a time to say, no, I can't do that. That would make life too complex, and our hectic life is making stress all over the place. Hurry, 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 hurry. And say, no, I can't do that. And there's a time to say no. And that's very important. Number 14, it says, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Now, some of you flatland people don't even know what that means. That's a joke. That's a joke. It's nothing. And we stress down. And 15, it says, stop procrastinating. Any of y'all procrastinators? That causes stress. Big time. Big time. I'm a procrastinator. I've been working on that. Happening around Lee? I've been working on that. Can you change from being a procrastinator? Yes, you can work at it. I do. I'm terrible at it sometimes. But I've been saying, God, help me. You know, that's relieved a lot of stress in my life. And that's it. That's important there. Number 16, it says, make family a priority. I don't think we do that enough. Children, it's your job. Teenagers, children. If mom's sick and you are supposed to go to a ball game and dad says we're going to stay home for mom and not go to the ball game, I want you to realize family is first. I didn't hear any amens. Well, I got to go to a ball game, or I want to go to a party, or I want to go to a friend's house. You know, family's first. Well, we're going to go to grandma's house. Well, grandma's house stinks. I don't care. I don't care. We're going to grandma's house. Is that right? Family's first. You know, God's first. Church is first. Family's first. And children need to know that. Well, what? I'm not going to have any fun. Well, my goodness. I grew up in West Virginia. We didn't have anything but rocks. Get a life. Can you have fun with rocks? You can have a blast with rocks. Get your mind to it. And are we spoiled terribly? And I think that's causing stress. It's causing a hectic lifestyle. And we need to stop it. Families need to be priority. Don't be judgmental. If you're critical about everybody, you're going to stress all the time. Boom, boom. You're pushing yourself up and you're proud and all that. Stop being judgmental. 18, it says, this is very good for children and teenagers. Let discipline be your friend. Now think about that. How many of you like discipline? I'm glad. I'm glad there's no liars here. Discipline. When your parents are disciplining you, is it for your good? I didn't hear any children. It is for your good. If they let you go in that area, you'll be messed up. Discipline is your friend. Well, it doesn't feel too good. Discipline is your friend. And parents, that's important. Children, teenagers, discipline is your friend. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. If your parents would have disciplined you, adults, would it have been better for you and kept you from a lot of evil? Oh, man. And so that, it's your friend. Don't look at it. I don't like this at all. No, you don't like it. But boy, you learn not to lie. You learn not to cheat. You learn not to hit your brother and your sister. Is that right? You learn. You learn to do your homework. You learn to clean your room. You learn. And discipline is your friend. I thought that was a great one. 19, it says, take control of your thoughts. If you're always having pity parties or having evil thoughts, you're going to have stress. Number 20, it says, don't plan for perfection. Any of you perfectionists? Ron Lee discovered that when we do wallpaper that I'm a perfectionist. I'm not normally a perfectionist in some areas, but when I do wallpaper, it's got to be perfect. Do you know how long it takes to be perfect wallpaper? We determined never to wallpaper again. It's got to be perfect. And will life ever be perfect? No. And if you're setting your standard too high, you're going to be nailed all the time. You're going to be stressed all the time. You know, is it really that important? And that's a big one there. And it says this, in number 21, it says, be easy to get along with. Are some people just nasty, just feisty? Be easy to get along. Come on. Well, I'm going to have it my way, or we're just going to have a mess. 22. Change what you can change. There are some things that need to be changed in our lives, you know. And the next one is things you can't change, don't change. You know, out of our control. We've already dealt with that. I mean, if you can't do anything about it, you're at work and you can't do anything about it, you might as well trust God and get your attitude right and go for it. Is that right? That's it. But things you can change. You can change some things. If you can change your attitude. You can change how you think about something. You can change your response. Is that right? Your response. You can't change their response, but you can change your response. You know, does somebody make you mad or do you choose to be mad? You choose to be mad. Nobody makes you mad. You choose. That's a response. That you're stressed. And I'm going to choose not to be stressed. If I can't control it, I'm not going to be stressed. But there's some things you can. One of the things is our children. Sometimes we have children and they need to obey. And we get stressed because they don't obey. And I want you to know parents are put in children's lives. We're going to find that out tonight in Ephesians. It says, children, obey your... wasn't too strong. And you know, my parents were put there for that. To say, go clean your room. What must you do when you say, go clean your room in about 2 or 3 minutes? Inspect what you expect. And be consistent. If you say, son, if you do that again, we'll give you a spanking. What do you have to do when he does it again? If your children know you won't do that, you just got stress. You got stress. Well, my children, they just won't obey me. Oh, get a life. It's not the kids' fault. They're strong-willed. My goodness, I was strong-willed, but my mama was stronger. Huh? And then we have a problem, you know. I just can't make a mind. And you know, we I have stress. You know, I want my child to do this and they won't do it. Man, my mama never had stress. I had stress. And those are things I can't. Oh, you know, son, get out there and feed the dog. Man, I never said, Dad, I don't want to. Woo, hoo, hoo, hoo. I wanted to. And number 23 is the same thing. Don't try to change the things you can't. We already dealt with that. 24 is plan ahead. Some people get stressed because they don't plan. Is that right? Do you have to plan ahead? Ronalee's great at planning ahead. She's taught me a lot about planning ahead. And do you know we have all 16 planned and we got most of 17 already planned? I'm excited about 17. I'm excited about 18. And you realize, wow, this is exciting. If you don't plan, what happens?
Nothing.
You succeed very well. You do nothing. And plan. Do you have to plan in your family? Yes, you plan. And you teenagers, you plan your life. Now, don't be over-planned. 25 says, don't be easily offended or irritated. Is that true? Don't be easily feared. Don't wear everything right there. They hurt my feelings. Oh, get a life. Yeah. You know, come on. Children do that too much. Teenagers do that. Oh, they said this. Oh, you know, my parents never would let me do that. Don't be easily offended or irritated. Be generous. Is generous good? Do people take advantage of you? Still be generous. Is that right? Generous is the way of life. Number 27, it says, be realistic with your expectations. If you put your expectations too high, you know, I want my child to be a genius, IQ of 150. You know, look in the mirror. Come on. I want them to be the world's greatest basketball player. You know, how tall are you? Oh, 5 foot. Okay, look in the mirror. You know. It is important. Should you have expectations? I think everybody should have goals. I'm a goal setter. I think everybody should expect them. When I ask somebody, where do you work? They tell me, usually I said, are you the president yet? Huh? Should that be important? That's important. Should you be the best you can possibly be? Yes. And the expectations, but note those realistically. Number 28, I had to think a while on it. Be a prisoner of hope. Confidence. God God's going to do it. Is that right? I'm prisoner of hope. I just love that. That's deep. And then 29, it says, have simple friends. Are friends very important? They can cause you all kinds of stress, but if you keep them simple, it's wonderful. And the last one is, it's never too late to begin again. It is never too late, adult, parent, teenager, child. It's never too late to start eliminating stress. Never too late. You either have tension and stress, or stress and tension and trust. I'm going to simplify my life. In America, do we need to simplify our lives? We're going in too many directions, and we're going nowhere. And if you're not careful, you'll look around your family, and you don't have time for your family. You don't have time for your mate. You don't have time for life. You don't have time for your friends. Yesterday, we moved the guests in. I think there were at least 30, 40 people there taking time to move them in. Amen? And that's life. There's got to be time for your neighbor. There's got to be time for people. And we're in too fast. We're moving too fast. We got to slow down. In our home, we limited our children to one sport, because if we let all three of our children be in sports all the time, we would go crazy. I think I went crazy. Okay, but you're limited. We're too fast, and we can begin again. The last point here, the choice of life, to trust and obey, to live joyfully, or to be stressed and rebel and live miserably. Is that right? Two choices. It's a choice. It's a choice. And it's very important that we have this, that trust and obey, be joyful, stressed and rebel, be miserable. Matthew chapter 11. Let me look at it with you. Matthew chapter 11. It says, come unto me. Is that right? Come unto me. That's the first step. If you're going to be de-stressed in your life or simplify your life, you got to come to Him. God, I need you. I'm coming to you. I'm listening. My ears are open. I'm reading your Bible. I'm right here. Talk to me. Talk to me. And it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you're stressed out. You got to admit it. You got to recognize it. God, I'm stressed out. And I'm coming to you. And I'm stressed out at the end of my rope. I need help. I'm coming to you. And it says, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Is the amount of rest you get important? Did God create a Sabbath? And the Sabbath was for rest. And He says, rest. Sleep is good. If you stay up all night long, you're going to be miserable if you don't get your rest. Now, some of us go on a less amount of rest. But rest is rest important? Now, if you're asleep already, it's great. You're resting, And it's important to realize that, come unto me, all ye are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. The yoke was with the oxen, and you would yoke up with Jesus. He's one of them. He's the bigger one. You're the smaller one, and you yoke up with Him, and you and Him pull life. Is that right? And He's the best one. He's the strong one. Yoke up with me. Don't do it yourself. Yoke up with me. Learn of me. Start learning that me and you can run down the road. Come on, get running. Get running. Don't slow down. Don't slow down. Let's do more for God. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. That is a great verse. I want you all to mark it down. That's Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Amen. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Put the next one up. To be happy, it says, not a burden we bear. Ronald, you can play. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly we pay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we what? Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. We never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. If you want to, you're going to have stress. You're going to have stress. You're going to have tension. And tension either leads to stress or tension leads to trust, and obedience. Stress and disobedience, rebellion, tension, trust, and obey. Stress-free, simplified life, God's way, joy, peace. Wow. Miserable, frustrated, confused. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you? How many this morning say, preacher, I needed this message. Raise your hand. I needed this message. I need this message. I need this message. I do too. Very important. Go home and get your children. Their papers back in the back. Has all of this on there. And y'all talk about this, especially that list of 30. Go through that. Teenagers and children. Because we have too stress of life, too hectic. No, let's trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. He's the Lord. And then obey. Obey. This is how to run your family. This is how to run your job. This is how to run your life. This is how you treat others. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Isn't it great to have peace and joy in your life? Lord Jesus, give us rest by coming to you. Instead of stress, rest. Tension, yes. Trust is the answer. In Jesus' name, amen.